I seen him in the street once, and I think I was saying, "That's that guy. That's that actor." And as I turned, as me and my mate turned around to like see if it was him, he just was going like this backwards.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 151 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan the Organ Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And I know I make a beast out of myself with these puns, but
a
this...
beast? That doesn't work. Yeah, carry on.
But this is truly an episode full of heart and soul.
Yeah, the second half works, the first half didn't. Making a beast of yourself, no, it doesn't work. Yes, this week's guest is Scottish legend, frontman, musician, and all-round lovely, lovely egg, Sam McTrusty of Twin Atlantic.
Yes, and this one is way overdue, but I am over the moon that we're finally getting to do a Twin Atlantic podcast. Sam and the rest of the guys have truly soundtracked a lot of important moments for me growing from my early teens to mid-20s. They're always being a boulder in the alternative UK music scene, trying different things, not really fitting into a certain subgenre, but constantly producing emotionally connecting rock and roll anthems. I love everything from their riffs to energies, ballads, and his strong Scottish accent. And I know, Sean, in many ways, Twing and the Blackout came through together at a similar time. You're around the same spaces. You got to do a lot of photo shoots with Sam for magazines over the years.
Yes.
Is it interesting from your perspective to see how far they've grown and become the band they are today?
Yeah, it's been fucking awesome, to be honest. I remember shooting, we shot a rock song cover, and it was me, Gavin Butler of the Blackout, Ollie Sykes of Bring Me the Horizon, Aled Phillips of Kids in Glass Houses, Josh Franceschi of the You Me at Six, and Sam. And it was a good day in London. And yeah, I just fucking love those boys. I just remember them, like when they came out, I remember playing with them and being really fucking psyched for them. And then we kind of drifted apart, I guess, just because we were, like you said, they don't really fit into a genre. Whereas, you know, like, if you look at all of those bands there, they all kind of went off into doing their own thing. Like, at the time, Bring Me the Horizon were a heavy metal band. So they went off and did that. You, Me, Six were like an emo band. Kids in Glass Houses are more like a dance rock band. And The Blackout were just a fucking mess. So it was, it was awesome. But yeah, just the fact that they're still fucking going literally makes me feel warm inside for them. Because it's been a fucking struggle for everyone, I think. But yes, I'm fucking chuffed and I'm happy. And I'm excited for what comes next for Twin Atlantics. I think they're going to be bigger than ever. And I can't wait.
Yeah, and there's so much for us to dive into with this conversation. Because not only do the band have a new album in Transparency dropping on January 7th, which you can pre-order now, but there's a lot of changes behind the scenes, and in 2022, they're going to be touring to celebrate the 10th year anniversary of their renowned masterpiece of a record, In Free. So we're going to be talking all about that, Sam's musical and life journey, secrets behind some of their cult favorite tracks, that wonderful Scottish accent, of course, and just some silly touring stories involving Warped Tour and just so many laughs.
Yes, thank you very much to Sam for coming on and Sam's team for helping us sort this out. Yeah, like Morgan said at the beginning, this is one we have wanted to have done since the start of Sampling Podcast, really. And we have tried, but it's just never lined up. But yes, the stars aligned. And the universe give us this beautiful, beautiful chat with Sam. So thank you very much, universe. Thank you very much, Sam. If you've got any suggestions for future guests, any ideas, any questions you want answered, get in touch with us at SappeningPod on Twitter and Instagram. That's at SappeningPod on Twitter and Instagram. And we will try our best to reply to you and to get the guests you want. Because God knows we are trying that. We are trying. Give me the maddest suggestion for someone that you want to hear, because that's what I want. I want to hear who you guys want to hear from and the mad shit that they've done, because yeah, there's loads of people. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been eyeing up people like Sir Tom Jones. He's doing a gig with Stereophonics. We'd like to sort that out.
Yeah, he's on the dream list, but yeah, we've...
Yeah, Di Asloff, also known as David Asloff, to anybody who's not Welsh. He'd be good. Yeah, so we're trying a bit of everything. The Rock, Dwayne would be good, I think. John Cena.
He's, well, The Rock's just featured on a rap album.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Recently, do you know what? Never mind then. Never mind.
Oh, but yes, do let us know at Sappening Pod. We're always trying new things. And if you just go back and see the list of guests we've had recently, there are some amazing stories there for you to go and check out. But of course, if you're taking a moment on the internet as well, please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sappening. Because over there, not only is there loads of extra content, more bonus podcasts, videos, photos, just a lot of comedy genius, but you get to be included in our wonderful community. And there's a lot of celebrations coming up for us very soon that we're doing official meetups. If you're part of the Patreon now, we've told you to save some dates. So come and join in on the party, patreon.com/Sappening, and literally have a party with us.
Yes, yes. We are trying to organise a party night and possibly a gig. I've said too much.
Right, Lester, before you ruin it, let's just go straight into this conversation with the beautiful, wonderful, magnificent Sam McTrusty of Twin Atlantic.
Jesus Christ. You're not wrong, mind. He is all of those things, but fuck. You wouldn't say that about me, you bastard. Anyway, Sapnin! Go on, Sam, boy.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Sapnin'. Oh,
hey!
It was slow. It was. Hey! I was going to say it was slow, it was low, but we going. This week's guest is the phenomenal Sam McTrusty of Twin Atlantic. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm really good. I'm doing a podcast.
Yes, yeah. You were saying beforehand that you don't do many podcasts.
It must be my accent. It must be people are like, what was that guy saying?
Because
that seems to be the universal reaction to the Scottish accent.
Well, no, we can't say much. Our accents aren't any better. And all three of us combined is going to make an interesting conversation, I think. But I'm so happy to have you on, man. We've been trying to get you for quite a while.
Too fucking long, if anything. Too fucking long.
So I'm glad this could finally happen. How are you doing at the moment?
I'm good. That's new. That's news to me. You've been trying to get. I would have just done it first time.
Morg, we need to stop going through PR people. We need to stop fucking
sliding the DMs.
Yeah.
I'm good, mate. I'm at home, and I'm kind of just fucking about, to be honest. But I think that's why I'm doing podcasts. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. Okay, what the fuck else have I got to do? So yeah, all good.
Yeah. Good, yeah. Well, I'm sure these last few months have been a whirlwind for you, because after being stuck in the house for so long, I think you were one of the first bands to proper do a tour around the UK in terms of venues and playing big festivals in between and everything like that. How is this time just being for you kind of getting back into that mindset and going from isolation to being in full of a room of really sweaty people singing lyrics back at you?
It was quite surreal, but surreal in the first instance, but then almost just like straight into autopilot again, where it's like that's kind of what I've done my whole adult life. So it was like I think I realized, you know what, I was really burying my head in the sand of how much I love touring and love being in a band, and because I love to fucking moan about it. Do you know what I mean? I love to be like, fucking you guys don't get it, it's really hard work and fucking it's like a constant struggle and blah, blah, blah. But I think, especially the live side of things, I had just buried my head in the sand through lockdown. And I was like, I'm quite enjoying having the time off. Like loads of people in Glasgow around me, my family, and that were like, are you missing it? And I was like, nah, it doesn't define me. Fuck that. No way. I'm loving being at home. And as soon as the first show we played back was like the Download pilot. So it was like 10,000 people. So that was like 0 to 100. I was like everyone else, just sitting at home or doing DIY or whatever what I was doing the day before, to then like pretending to be a rock star again the next day. It was quite mad. But the strange thing about it was, cause that was like an experiment, that one, I got to you check in, you get to the gate and they're like, right, take your mask off. And that was like the opposite of what I've been told for like months before that. That was quite surreal.
How did you find being around people again, and being around crowds and stuff? Did you mingle very much?
I think the Download one, yes, because I don't know, I kind of felt like this is something I can contribute back to people, to like, if I get COVID, like at least I was trying to do something decent for like UK touring and all the crew and all that as well. There was like, there was a reason to do it, to figure out how transmissible it was in that environment. So I was kind of like, right, don't be a shite bag, fucking give that guy a hug, talk to these people. I didn't fully go in the crowd, but I like jumped down into the barrier and a guy spilt Dark Fruits Strongbow all over my Scotland away top, because Scotland had just played England before. And we never really do like the whole themed, the band going on the stage wearing the same thing, but we all went on wearing the Scotland away top, and I was like, ah, fucking gigs, man. Fucking people.
What the fuck? But did he do that? Did he do that on the sly, though? Was he like, did you check his nationality? Was he English?
I'm in. Do you know, I don't want to pigeonhole him, but I think maybe. But he had, with me, he had his hands up and was like, yes! And it just fucking went everywhere.
Ah, motherfucker. Have you got the stains out now?
The stains are out. The stains are out.
The look. Oh, I wish. Do you know what? It's a bit sad this is an audio only podcast, because that look and was fucking perfect. There was a fucking beat. Your face went fucking serious. The stains are out. Lovely. That was fucking perfect then. Fucking genius. Comedy genius, I was.
I don't know if I'm even answering your question. I'm just talking about being at the thing, but it was. See, because you're on the stage, you're a bit separate. You in your mind, you're like, oh, we're totally safe up here, which is so stupid. Because really, I'm opening and closing my mouth at 1,000 people that are like
shouting up towards you.
And like, I'm breathing in all that. So probably the worst place to be in the room. But
yeah, I never thought of it. Like, you're a target for breath. It's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
No, it's always like, oh, the singer's lost their voice, or they've got a cold, or sinus infection, or that. It's like, no fucking wonder. They pointed it out to me as well. And the moment you've just had there, Sean, of like, oh yeah, fuck, that makes total sense, is the moment that I had when he explained it to me. But the nice thing about the gigs was the first 4 or 5 songs, I mean, like, I'm used to being like, who's fucking having a good time? Let's go! Ah! And people ramp up instantly and match your energy. But it took about maybe 8 or 9 songs, and then by the end of this, because we may be playing like 19, 20 songs or something like that, by the end it was as if there had never been a pandemic. Because a lot of during lockdown and all that, I just felt like I was agreeing with everyone, like, yeah, music's really important and people miss it. And I was, I don't know, maybe I was in shock and just kind of going along with it, but it was nice to see an actual realization of that, where you were like, fuck, music can help people get out of their comfort zone again and get back to like some sort of normality. So
yeah, well, I can relate to that a little bit, because we've been lucky enough to do some festivals, but my first indoor gig back was you guys at the Tram Shed in Cardiff.
Was it?
And yeah, I was up in the balcony a little bit because I was worried about being in the crowd and all that.
Too good for the crowd ears, he thinks now. But, got a podcast.
But then you started playing What Is Light, What Is Laughter, and I went straight down there and had a jolly time for the rest of the gig in the crowd. So
dived off.
But it was weird because that show, that Cardiff show, we had our stuff on stage about to sound check. I'm repeating myself, I've probably said this at the show, but for the listeners out there, I should be doing podcasts all the time. That was like, we were on tour in March 2020, had the stuff set up on stage to sound check, and it was the day after like all the Premiership football games get cancelled, the travel ban was put in by Trump, and then the rugby was meant to be that day in Cardiff, Scotland were playing, and I turned up to the venue and were like, ah, the fucking rugby's been canned. Went upstairs to the dressing room and my guitar tech was like pale grey, covered in sweat and like coughing, and I was just like, fuck this, we're going home, fucking stupid. So it was a big moment to play that show, a big deal, but it was like I'm not sure how many people, maybe like 700 people came, but it holds 1,000. So there was still some people that weren't up for it. You know what I mean? Like stayed away or.
Yeah, I'm still finding that now. Yeah, I DJ'd somewhere the other day and the promoter was saying about he'd sold like 65, 70% of the tickets beforehand. And then on the night then, he was surprised how many people must have bought tickets who did like just still haven't turned up, and they're just buying tickets because they want to go somewhere, but they're still not sure about going anywhere.
I would definitely be in that category if it wasn't for, you know, my job being the what would you say, breath target. Yeah. I would definitely be in that category for sure. Like, I went to the football for the first time and felt a bit weird about it, because I think you're meant to wear a mask, but like, nobody's wearing a mask, do you know what I mean, at the football. Like, it just. But if I hadn't have been playing shows or whatever, I probably wouldn't have gone. My wife's a nurse and works in the hospital and stuff like that. So through the whole thing, I've been like extra cautious or trying to be extra sound about it, because the stories she's been coming back and telling me, you're like, well, the least I can do is like be sensible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, no, do us a favour. Sure. Thank you, Mrs. for us, for being part of the fucking emergency services during this time, because fucking hell, they've had some shit. And they're still getting shit now off fucking idiots as well now. It's gone from fucking, oh, use this virus, to use a virus and some fucking idiots who don't even believe in the virus.
I know.
Yeah, fucking hell,
man. It's really... There's just so many fucking stupid people. There's no cure for being stupid. Do you know what I mean?
No. Yeah, we're basically seeing natural selection take place, I think. But natural selection might fuck some of us intelligent people up as well. That's the problem. I think that's where we're stuck now.
Part of me gets it because it's such an extreme, like, it came out of nowhere. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Some people, like, don't handle, like, being inside for that long. Well, or that, like, I've definitely been guilty of, like, getting on a thread online and just going down a rabbit hole and being like, oh my god, aliens are real, and aliens are real, guys, just so you know.
Oh yeah. He's on board on that completely. Yeah.
No, don't put the UFOs and aliens thing in with, oh, these people think the virus doesn't exist, because aliens and UFOs factually exist.
Bad example. Well, whatever. Elves.
Elves or Elvis, either one.
I do get that it's been quite a hard time for people mentally to, like, stay on the tracks of rational thinking. But basically, my mum as well. My mum works in the same hospital, and my wee sister works in accident emergency. So there's three people in my immediate family. I mean, any of the sort of naysaying or, like, because I'm definitely a conspiracy theorist as well, and I looked into all the, like, before there was even the vaccine, I looked into, like, fuck, man, is it man-made? Is this, like, a biological warfare
weapon? Yeah.
And you very quickly get thrown out of that, like, train of thought when you've got three nurses talking to you about it. Good to have that in my back pocket, because I get out of these, like, dangerous conversations about, yeah, well, my wife's a nurse, so I'm a
sibling. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I need to get a nurse girlfriend so I can argue more. That's my new thing now. Oh. If I get a nurse girlfriend, I'm finally above the law. I can say what I want to anyone. But yeah, go on, Morg. Sorry, Morg.
No, I was just going to say, though, but despite, you know, all the mayhem that's gone on, it's nice to see that you've been able to be quite creative in that downtime being stuck at home, because obviously you've written and started releasing tracks now from a brand new record called Transpiracies coming out in January 7th. It was just a classic kind of lockdown project. I believe you were starting to write music for other people and ended up writing this.
Yeah, well, I don't even know how this happened, but I think, like, seeing the first 5-6 weeks of the first lockdown, when everyone was, like, learning how to, like, make bread and
yeah.
I'm going to do yoga every day and get super healthy, and, like, which is great to put that time to something constructive. I like, regressed back to being 16-year-old, 17-year-old me, where I was like, I'm just going to sit in the room and fuck about with guitars and like, I don't know whether I was, like, in shock, and so I just went back to, like, naive, simple thinking me. Do you know what I mean? Where I just was like, I'm just going to write songs and learn how this keyboard works and learn how this audio stuff works. And although I've been using all that stuff for years, I probably didn't know how a lot of it actually worked. So that was I was like, oh, I'll use this time to, like, really deep dive into all of this stuff. So I took some of the stuff home, because the band used to have a studio in the city in Glasgow. We don't have it anymore. That was, like, the first thing to go. Do you know what I mean? Because it was like, how can we afford to do that and not be playing shows or whatever? So I ended up bringing some of the stuff home, and I was meant to, in the April, I was meant to be going to America to write with a producer, Jack Knife Lee, who we'd worked with before a couple of times. So he was kind of more of a mate at this point. So I was able to text him and say, do you want to just do this remotely? I've seen people this was when, like, Zoom was first knocking about for normal people, not office folk. And I was like, oh, do you want to try and do it that way? Just for something to do. Obviously all his stuff had been canceled as well. So the two of us ended up just being, like, each other's, instead of learning to make bread and doing quizzes and things like that, the two of us were just, it was meant to be all, let's do a song. And then we loved the first song, and then we did another and another and another. And before we knew it, we were like, man, this is maybe the most cohesive album we've attempted, because it was made in such a, the restrictions that we had physically and technologically meant that like there was only certain things we could do, and it's made the records have like a really distinctive sound. And I had so much time on my hands to like rewrite the lyrics, really, because sometimes the lyrics are an afterthought or whatever, because you're running out of time or you're just thinking about something else. But because I was so focused on it, we started to be like, shit, this might be a really good album, rather than just two mates messing about with like, how do you work Zoom and how do you fucking, I can't hear you, can you hear me? All that stuff every day. So a bit of a happy accident. But then I've heard other bands say, oh, we wanted to put the time to really good use and write. And well, I wasn't really thinking that way. I was more thinking like, oh my fucking God, the world's ending. I'm just going to cover my ears and eyes and like make me, like I was just doing it out of like a knee jerk emotional response or something. Rather than trying to like, oh, I need to fucking keep up my end of the contract or whatever. So,
yeah, no, for sure, for sure. But how would you feel that kind of different in sound with these new tracks as hit people already? Because you've always been a band who have incorporated different sounds as you've gone on. You've always said you don't want to make the same record twice. You always want to do something a little bit different. Obviously, you've incorporated a lot more kind of dancey elements and electronic sounds in recent records. Do you think that's just taken a step further now with this one?
Yeah, I think it's mad to be able to agree. See, when I'm listening to you saying that and I'm like, yeah, we have done that. That to me, I'm even like, that is wild that we've been allowed to make enough albums that we've now got a kind of thread of it starting to make sense. Because we've always been a bit of an awkward band. Like we've never really fitted into any particular scene or slot or genre. We've kind of fitted into three or four different ones. I don't know. It wasn't on purpose. I think it's just musical taste and where we're from and in the UK and stuff like that. Just we've always kind of been a bit of a thorn in different scenes rather than slotting in nicely. And so I think we just kind of ran with that and we were like given a wee bit of extra creative freedom to just experiment. Because I think I've got a lot of mates in other bands who they started as like a pop punk band and they did really, really well. But they don't even like listen to, I don't even know if they listen to like guitar music anymore, but they still do that thing because I don't know, it was for obvious reasons, right? And it's so I feel dead lucky that we've been allowed to kind of experiment, because I think every band would want to do that if they could. But sorry, that was just a bit of context as to why it's not. It's not, we don't think we're like super artists, you know what I mean? We're not doing it. You get bored making the same thing over and over again. And so with this new one, this new record, like I was saying, because I mean, I was making it in like my daughter's bedroom. She got kicked out back into our, because she was only like 6 months old. So she got kicked back into our bedroom. And I just set up all the studio gear in her spare, well, in the spare room in this flat we were in at the time. So we had neighbors like right through the wall above us and below us. So I couldn't do the big rock vocal done for years. So that kind of became like the framework for the songs. Like, well, I can't get to the chorus and go, ah, or whatever. Because I'll get someone on the wall will be like, shut the fuck up. Or I'll like wake up my daughter, because I could only work when she was asleep. Because my wife was at the hospital working and I was a stay-at-home dad role. So when she would go to bed at night, and because of the time difference between Jack Knife Leaves and Los Angeles, so 8 hours time difference meant Sadie would go to bed at like 7:30. I'd start work at like 8 or 9 and I'd work till like 4 in the morning, get up with her in the morning. And I worked through this whole sleep-deprived state.
Wow.
So that's probably why it sounds different too, because... And it was a lot more like digital amps and digital sharing of files and things like that. So it was like a completely opposite experience to how I've ever made a record before. So there was obviously going to be a different outcome.
Yeah, that's mad. Yeah, that's mad you say that with like digital amps and stuff. Because yeah, I was listening to Bang on the Gong earlier, and yeah, some of the guitar sounds and tones and stuff on it sound fucking fantastic. So to hear that they might be digital amps is...
Yeah, I think it was a blend going on, because there was, we were writing over Zoom like this, and then Jackknife was recording it. His studio was like a proper studio. Do you know what I mean? And it was just, it was quite mental. Basically, we've got an album that's like mainly played by him. It was mad. So we just had to totally like the reins and because I'm sure you guys know, obviously, like people can be so precious and like it's a lot of it is like ego driven of like, no, I'm playing that bit because I'm the singer and I'm the guitar player, so I need to do that bit. But we just let go of all of that and just, I mean, it was a mental way for a band. I never want that ever again. Can you imagine some of the fights and the arguments we had as between us all in the band? We were liking the finished kind of songs, so we just kind of kept going with it.
Nice. Yeah, super interesting to hear. I'm really looking forward to the rest of the record. But it's funny you mentioned not fitting into certain genres, because one thing I was going to bring up is I noticed recently you brought out a t-shirt that said "Too Rock for the Alternative Kids, Too Alternative for the Rockers." And really, that sums up Twin Atlantic perfectly.
Yeah, I think so too. Because it was our bass player, Ross, has like, I think his favorite type of music is kind of like ambient club music or something. Do you know what I mean? He's not. And there was a t-shirt years ago that was like too, I can't remember. It was something like that, but not alternative and not like rock. It was like too house for something and too acid for something. It was something like that. I can't remember. He'd be so annoyed at me that I've forgotten it. And he said, oh, we should make a t-shirt like that. That's because people have said that to us for years. All the marketing geniuses out there and all the different management and stuff that we've worked with, they've just been like, you just need to pick one, guys, and like you'll do so much better. We're like, it'll just be so disingenuous though, guys, and we'll stand out like a sore thumb in a bad way because we'll look like we don't care.
Mm.
It's like see like when our band, like we did the Warped Tour in 2012. We were just so misplaced on that tour. But like we loved it because we've grown up listening to like a lot of that. Do you know what I mean? Like I love punk music, dude. I love really heavy guitar stuff, and I love people like crowd surfing and like screaming. And I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this train of thought. I'm losing my train
of thought. It's all good, but yeah, I was Warped Tour for you. Did I imagine I was? How did the crowds react?
Well, there was a few kind of like. There was a few similar bands like us on the bill, one called Make Do and Mend, another one called Dead Sarah, where we were kind of more rooted in alternative rock, I guess. I get when you start getting into like the subgenres of melodic rock music, it gets a bit silly. But like, for example, I think the headliner on the tour was Motionless in White.
Oh wow, okay.
Bit different. Slightly different to Twin Atlantic.
Just a little bit, aye, yeah.
Same get up, same look.
same look. Spot on.
Codpiece.
Literally swapped. Right, I'm off. There you go, bro. That's for you.
But I think because the 99% of that particular year was all about that, are we kind of like integrity based, you know, we were all about that. We were all like, no, play it from the heart. You need to mean it. It needs to be songs about your real life. And you need to bow down to the altar of like Kurt Cobain's as the moral compass of songwriting. It ended up being like quite a weird shit experience. That's like one of the best experiences of my life ever. We were dead, like outrageously spoiled. And that our record label at the time was Red Bull Records, and they were based out of the States. So they were desperate for us to do the tour. Our mates in Biffy Clyro had done it the year before, and they were like, don't fucking do it, guys. Like, do not fucking, this is not for you. Because I think they were meant to do it for 2 months and only did it, they came home or something. I'm sure.
Wow.
I could be getting that wrong because they were maybe trying to be cool and like lie to me or whatever. But, so they were saying like, trust me, don't fucking do it. And the label were like, you need to do it. We've got you a slot because someone at the label knew Kevin.
Lyman.
Thank you. And he was like, yeah, I'll get them on. And we were like, oh my God, we need to do this. They're like these are like the money people paying for us to record records. And we need, there was an element of like guilted into it. And also it was like a holiday round America. I've grown up singing fucking the Blink lyrics about like the Warp Tour and meeting there, and like I was obsessed with it. I remember having like Ross and I saying, oh, we'll get student loans when we go to uni and we'll go to the Warp Tour, and but we had all these plans, so there was a bit of nostalgia attached to it. But we ended up saying to the label, the only way we'll do it is if we get our own bus, like our own tour bus, because it's basically, I think, like 4 or 5 bands share a bus, and then it just becomes like, I think it becomes like an SAS, like survival experience.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing it in the vans. No, the bands I saw doing in the vans were nearly dying trying to get to each venue. But yeah, on a bus is the best way.
On a bus, and then every other band was like sharing with other bands, and we were just spoiled wee pricks, like on our own bus with like AC, just like chilling. So that's why it became a really good experience, because we were just in a wee bubble of our own, as in our crew, and then these other like-minded bands, we were just... us and We Are the Ocean, they were We Are the Ocean and You Meet Six were the other British bands on the tour, and Lost Prophets as well. And so we just like sat and every night get steaming with them every night, basically, at our bus, because we had a bus to ourselves type of thing. So the bad bit was like, oh fuck, we need to go and play this show. How spoiled. Yeah. So spoiled, man.
Oh, wow. Nice to see you had like a little holiday from it, I guess, anyway. But while we're taking a trip down memory lane, obviously 2021 is the 10th year anniversary of your album Free. You're going to be celebrating it next year with a full UK tour, playing it in full and everything like that. But I mean, looking back at that record, what's some of your like standout memories from that time? Because even though you put some things out prior, I really feel Free was the kind of release that set you to new boundaries and kind of escalated the band to a completely different level.
Yeah, man, it's mad. I feel mad being like, yeah, you're right. Because it just, I'm like the most classic imposter syndrome person in a band, maybe ever. when I hear people talk about our band like that, I get like awkward. I'm like, shit. But that is like... Well, it was the record that basically allowed us to tour. We started getting played on the radio in the UK, well, in the UK, Europe and America, because it was before streaming was like even a thing, I think. So it basically was the record that gave us an audience. And I mean, the highlights are like we toured with Blink-182 on that record. And that's like the only reason why I got into guitar music was hearing them for the first time. Toured around the States like 4 or 5 times, met my now wife because of that. She's from Toronto. But it was a transition, because we'd done like all the like the toilet tours, they call them in the UK, where it's like kind of, we were playing like 150 cap venues to like 3 people for a few years in vans, 8 of us all staying in the one travel lodge room and all that carry on. And I actually loved it. It's, people talk about that like, oh, it was hard. It was amazing. So much fun. It's like, it was like going to uni or something for how to be in a band. Like if you don't do that bit, you're not going to really get the next step. And that's what Free was for us, was like, instead of playing like the small room in the upstairs of like Leeds Cockpit, we moved into like the bigger bar, and then we moved into like the main venue, and then we moved into like the uni stylist, I think it's called, all in the course of one album. We toured it for like nearly 3 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Radio One just kept putting the singles on their playlist.
Oh, bloody Radio One.
Oh, damn.
And it was crazy. But without them doing that, that's what snowballed it. That record's like getting out of a van and going on a tour bus for the first time and all looking at each other like a slow motion thing out of a movie, all nearly crying. Oh my God, that's a friend.
None of us have to drive tonight, boys. None of us have to drive.
So it was like a perfect wee sort of like time in the band of like first experiences, but they were all like life changing. And it was almost like we were having a new one every week. And that's partly why we want to like we kind of said in the beginning, like, I will never do the play an album from start to finish thing. That's fucking cheesy. Like, we're not about that. We want to do a new thing and move on to another thing. And even if less people are into it, like, fuck it, be true to yourself and all that. But because I think it hit its 10-year anniversary during lockdown and people were messaging us about it loads, I just felt dead grateful and, like, reliving the memories, because Craig, our drummer, has like 30,000 photos of the band. So he was like, oh, look at this photo from this time, blah, blah. And we're like, do you know what? Maybe we should just do something for our actual fans that they want for once, rather than being selfish. So that's where the idea to do the tour came up. And it was meant to be November 2021, but obviously we had to move it, make it as confusing as possible, because we've got a new and an old one. But
yeah. Yeah, no, but I'm sure so many fans are going to be so pleased to revisit some of those songs and hear a lot of things you haven't played in forever. But while we're talking about the record, one track I have to talk about with you is Crashland, because I feel that is kind of the ultimate cult Twin Atlantic song. It was never released as a single, but you go to any live show and people are waiting to belt those lyrics back at you in their own version of a Scottish accent. Do you just think that is kind of the ultimate, like, fan favorite track from Twin in a way?
Yeah, I think it must be, because there's no other song that I can just, like, not sing into the mic. You know what I mean? And I don't know why. I don't know what it is about that. Obviously, it's like, it's a ballad for anyone who's not heard it. It's like an acoustic ballad. It's got, like, sad cellos and everything like that. So it's a heartstring puller. The mad thing is, I was watching, we had the music for it, and it was like a full-on, like, nearly a pop punk song with, like, the production we had. And then we had to go to this, like, uni radio show, and I think it was the first time we'd ever done a session, like an acoustic session, and we only had like two songs that we could play, because we were, and right when we started, we were kind of a bit of a disjointed almost like math rock elements to our band, and loads of like noodling on the guitars. Transfer that onto acoustic was really difficult. So Barry, our guitar player, was like, I'm going to have to transpose this to like acoustic, and we'll just need to like write a new acoustic song because we don't have enough songs to this radio session. And it was at Stirling Uni, and it just was not a big deal, but to us it was like, oh my God, we've got a radio session. And we took it so seriously. And I was watching Castaway with my grandpa, and I was just like, right, I need to write fucking lyrics for this song. What am I going to do? And I just was like, themed it all on that movie, and that's where the song kind of originates from. Was like me panicking about having lyrics because we've got this radio session at Stirling Uni, and so it's like extra surreal to me that all these people connect to the song. And it was never a single because it was like a panic written thing. really. And that's probably why we never, there was talks about it being a single back in the day, but we didn't want to have like the Hooba Stank thing happen. Intro to our band, and then go and listen to like the rest of the record was like a grunge record or something like that. So yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to reason yourself. Yeah. No, you don't want to. No, but yeah, how mad is that though? Just to think, like, you were there, fucking rushing to finish a song for Stirling fucking uni radio, and then around the world, it's loved by thousands of people.
It's mental, man. It's honestly mental, and I have nearly the same reaction every time when we play it live. I do kind of it is a bit of a test, like, how into it are the crowd? If I just, like, let them take over and sing, I know it's going to, like, push the show to the next level. So I kind of, like, back off the mic and let them kind of get into it more. But it just makes me laugh every time. I just, like, find it so fucking funny that we've got a song that gets that reaction. Because people, like, mean every word.
Yeah.
It's mad because it's a song about like a plane crash as metaphor. And I'm like, well, maybe that's what's good about it, is like, I have no idea why. You know what I mean? I have no idea.
Yeah.
but it's a good one to have in the back pocket to like,
yeah, very much so. Yeah,
it's a show that is failing.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say, yeah, it's much better to have a song like that, the one you could pull out and everyone goes, oh, fuck this.
We definitely have loads of those songs.
You liar. Oh, you fucking liar. No. I haven't heard one yet.
Right, no, but thank you for telling the story of that. I mean, yeah, it's such a fan favorite track. But one of my favorite things about those live shows, especially during that song, is hearing the crowd trying to do their own version of a Scottish accent, singing it back to you. I'm sure, like, you must get things about the accent all the time, like, doing, like, singing wise, but how do you feel about going to a different place and then hearing them trying to do a Scottish accent and it coming out very wrong?
Well, it's like, if I went to see Blink, like, I'm singing like Tom DeLonge.
Yed. Mm. Yeah, you're saying, yeah, yed. You're pronouncing head wrong. Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a massive compliment.
Yeah. What's the weirdest place that you've heard somebody doing a Scottish accent in?
France, I think. Even like when a French person speaks English, it's very French sounding, do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
we've got quite a strong fan base in like Paris, but see, to be honest, like even like in Cardiff that night that you were at, I still hear it as like, well, like the Welsh accent,
right? Okay.
Yeah,
so like the French Scottish English language thing, that was probably the strangest one.
I love the idea of you going to somewhere like, I don't know, Japan, and just hearing a Japanese person singing back in the accent.
Never been to Japan.
What?
Really?
I never played there.
Oh, you need to go.
I think we were supposed to go with Funeral for a Friend years ago when we were supposed to be going to Australia to support them.
Oh.
But then the tour fell through. I can't remember why. So long ago now, I can't remember why. And we've never gone. We've played in Australia. We did like Soundwave Festival with Slipknot.
Of course. Yeah, as you do. Of course, yeah. Together at last, Twin Atlantic and Slipknot. You need to get to Japan.
Well, I think
it's fucking,
I think we should message the Faf Boys and get this tour to happen next year.
The purpose of this podcast was to bring out this huge, the Japanese people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a DVD in that somewhere.
I love the idea of your booking agent going, right, if we get you on some podcast now and you just mentioned Japan enough.
Well, you know what's mad, man? We've changed agents maybe 3 or 4 times over the last 15 years. And the first thing we said to the guy that we've just started working with, well, it was just before, we've been working with him there for 3 years, but 2 of those years we couldn't do anything. First thing we said was like, did we need to go? We need to go to Japan before we all fall out and like split up as a band. Like, we need to go because it's the one place we've not been. We're like desperate to go.
That's crazy, to be honest, though. That have you
toured there, like played shows there?
Yeah.
Is it exactly what? Because people just say it's like the best experience ever.
It's unbelievable. Well, when the blackout went there, I think it was like 2006 or 2007 originally. We turned up thinking, oh well, we had a record out there. Just like a local record label had bought the rights to. And we were like, oh, nobody, it's going to be shit. There's going to be nobody there. And we turned up and there was 400 Japanese people waiting with their ticket, with the ticket number. So on the floor, it had like 0 to 10, 11 to 20, right? And they queue in whatever ticket number they bought. We turned up at the venue and we got swarmed. And we were like, boys, we're absolutely massive in Japan. And we didn't know. And yeah, every time we went there, it's amazing. They treat you like kings. You can go from Tokyo, which feels like it's Blade Runner, like it's the future. And then you can go to Osaka, which feels like you've gone 500 years in the past. It's mental. One country couldn't be so... Like, I remember the first time we went there, they had... I was telling Morgan about this the other day. They had contactless payment via your phone. And this was 2005.
Really?
2003. Literally, we're going beep. And I was like, he just paid for the train with his phone. That's fucking mental.
Back then, that would have been insane to see that back.
Yeah, and now, yeah, it's just standard over here now. But yeah, you've got to get over it. Because even if you don't think, this is what I can go from what I had. Like, we thought literally we were going to be playing to nobody again. And we had a surprising fan base over there. So I reckon it's the same for you. I think you need to get over there.
No daft, because I know there's people... in Japan that listen to our bands. I don't know why we haven't. It's always a money thing, in it. It always comes visas and flights and the time out. I think, I don't know whether it's like because we were going to the States loads, and then the time that we were doing stuff in the UK, and that's what I mean. We don't have an excuse now.
Does that mean you get loads of come to Japan comments instead of come to Brazil?
We did for years, but now it's kind of like cooled off. Maybe they just got pissed off with us. Understandable.
Yeah. What is your most asked come to city? Because I used to get Brazil or Newcastle, because that was it. And either a whole country in South America or just Newcastle.
Annoyingly, it's like Glasgow. And I'm like,
I'm here.
You every day. It's to play a hometown show all the time. But we've got this strange thing where we're so much bigger in Scotland than anywhere else, but it's one of the smallest countries in the world. Do you know what I mean? With like Western infrastructure venues and all that. So only so often we can play here. And then because we're a bigger band here on like festival bills in Scotland, you have these like exclusivity things you have to sign when you start moving up the bill. So then it's like, oh, we can't do a headline show now for another year. We can't announce. So it's actually a big frustration, but
yeah,
it's a really good problem to have. Don't get me wrong.
No, for sure. But going back to the accent thing as well, like, was that just something from early on when you started singing that you always wanted to kind of make sure you didn't like Americanize yourself or anything? Or was it just something that naturally happened?
I think I don't know the exact reason why. It was like a kind of melting pot of like, I got into music because of like the big Californian culture explosion that happened in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s of like Blink mixed in with like Tony Hawk, skating, mixed in with like Jackass and all that sort of like American Pie movies coming out and stuff.
Hmm.
So I was kind of like spoon fed all of that when I was going through high school, and I sang every song with like that Tom DeLonge, like, where are you? Like everything was like California. I think what started happening was then when I started writing like my own lyrics, I just was like, I was cringing at myself doing that. I was like, what the fuck are you talking? And there was a disconnect between what I was saying and how it sounded. And then around the time that I started writing my own songs was when I was going to art school, and I was kind of learning more about creativity and finding your own lane. So like, you know, during the day I'd be going to like lectures about that. I was studying painting, like fine art painting, and I think there was like a transition from, oh, I'm just dead into music and I love like guitar and like distortion and punk rock music, but there was also this other dead thoughtful side that was analyzing art and analyzing. Then there's a crossover point where I then start thinking about music the way that I thought about visual art, and the music side just took over. And I guess then when I started like singing my own songs that I was writing, I was like, nah, just fucking be yourself, because at least then I'll be able to like stand by it for the rest of my life. Because you see, like, you know, you see people, our parents' generations, like, oh yeah, your uncle used to be in a band, and it was all like the new romantic stuff with makeup. Singing like they're in the Smiths or whatever, and you're like, fuck man, that's so cringy. I just didn't want that to happen. I don't know. And being from Glasgow, you're kind of like, you probably get a bit more of a kind of a like critical it's kind of more lad culture here with music than like the American kind of harder rock thing. It's not really a thing. Or it goes the complete other way where it's like kind of twee indie. So I basically just was so confused. I was like, I'll just be myself, because I'm not really sure which one of them is the least.
Well, it worked. So I'm very glad you stuck with that, because I've had many a fun night trying to do your accent horribly wrong at live shows. So,
well, that's happened to us. Like, think how many times we've had fucking people coming up to us doing really bad Indian accents, thinking they're Welsh.
It's true, yeah.
The amount of people I've had come on to me and go, all right, buddy, how is it going? And you're like, that is way off. That is, that's almost Pakistan.
A hard accent to do, though, isn't it? The Welsh
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, especially for English people, apparently.
Sort of vein as like the Northern Irish one for me. You know, sometimes you walk in to do it, like you go to do an accent and you fucking nail it, and then you're just in for 5 minutes doing like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or you miss it so wide that you sound Indian or something like that.
Yeah.
Northern Irish one are side by side there with that for me. I'm not. On this, don't worry, I'm not going to.
I don't want all of us getting cancelled for really bad accents. It's fine, but Sam, we won't keep you too much longer because we know you've got a very busy day. But with the grand scheme of everything lately, I mean, I don't like using the words or the phrase "new era" for bands that much because I think it gets overplayed and stuff. But it does feel like there is a new beginning for Twin Atlantic, not only with this new record, but obviously a few kind of changes in the lineup, because you and Ross are now just going are the only two official members in the band. Obviously Craig has just stepped away from the drumming stool while Barry is being is still a touring member with you guys. How is that process being for you now? Is it just a sense of the other guys just growing up and not being able to do this? Like how do you see going forward as a two-piece now?
Yeah, it's one of those situations where we started the band as kids, man, like all 18, 19, 20, that sort of age group. I guess life happens is a bit of a lazy way to explain it, but perspectives shift and change and everyone's sort of like goal is different. Do you know what I mean? Because I think it's impossible to, because we've been doing it for like nearly 15 years now. And if we were all just had the same goal still, because we did in the beginning and it all meant the same thing to us. And we were all as committed as each other because that was all we had in our lives. So it was something dead natural about that. But as time goes on and you change as a person and your priorities shift and even people's like moral compasses and things like that, like completely change direction. So plus to be totally honest with you, you end up like running a business. You know what I mean? It's you don't really, you hear about it and you're like, yeah, but fucking someone else will take care of that. Like, but nah, it's like on you to like, especially the more you go into adult life, the more that stuff becomes important. Not to sound boring and make the podcast super boring all of a sudden.
No, but this is what people want to hear.
A lot of people just think band life is fucking, hey, cocaine and strippers all the time.
Well, there is a lot of that part of it, but sometimes they're the worst bits. Do you know what I mean? Most rewarding parts of being in a band are figuring out the music industry and how you can make it work for you. And sometimes it doesn't work for you. Do you know what I mean? And there's a point where like you want to get off the rat race of that because it ruins. It's just not for everybody. Do you know what I mean? That side of it. And the longer you're in the game, the more that side just takes over. Because see, even something like a decision to make a record during lockdown, where like there's some cost involved, and then there's some like isolation of like, well, we can't go to a studio, so I'll do this on my own to keep it going and blah blah. And feelings get hurt and then perspectives change. And it just, the good thing about the situation we're in just now is that with it being just Ross and I, it's that everyone made the right decision at the right time for the right reasons. It was never like heated or upsetting anyone, if you know what I mean. It was always kind of motivated by like making us all happy. Like, what would make you happy right now? Oh, I don't want to deal with all that. I don't want to deal with like the tax thing and money and planning and being on calls about shit. I'm not into it. So I'll take a step back. And then you take a step back and you realize, actually, maybe I want to do something else. And see, just being honest with each other and being, to go right back to the beginning of what we're talking about, where we've never fitted into any particular open slot in a genre or a subgenre or scene. We've always felt free to kind of like adapt and change. So we just kind of took that mentality onto like how we run things behind the scenes rather than kind of playing up to the whole image of like how you would think about, you know, like best friends forever, which we are, but we've managed to stay like that because we like gave each other freedom to like take a step back or be more involved in this, or like right now maybe I was doing most of the songwriting, so like, well, you can, let's bring you in a role that makes you more involved in this stuff. And so really, really, really fucking difficult to juggle it all, because it's people that you care more about than what would be normal for your mates. Do you know what I mean? You're sharing connection, you're sharing experiences that connect you on such a deeper level. Not just the music, not just musical, but even like touring the world, or like I've grown up with these guys. Do you know what I mean? And now we're all like, people are married and they've got kids of their own and fucking mortgages. And so there's a bond there that's unbreakable, but the drive just goes away for some people, and it becomes more for others at different times. So rather than like trying to mash that all together and being like, no, we need to fucking stay because that's the thing about, we were just, were honest about it with each other and changed it so that we stayed best mates type of thing.
Yeah, well, that's the best way. But with all that now, obviously, it's very busy time. As I mentioned, new record next year. You're going to be celebrating the 10th year anniversary tour of Free and everything like that. But is there anything else we can look forward to? Is there anything just in your life in particular that you're kind of excited about?
Yeah, what I wanted to know is, are all the videos going to be intertwined? Because so far, we are.
We made those two. Were they back to back? I think we actually made them with a day off in between.
Oh, wow.
It was nice. True and the same. So it was easy to like make it. I think that's where the idea came from, was like, well, if we're going to do the next one, will we just, it was like a last, I think it was like a last minute thought to do it. I'd love to do that. Cause how does our last one end? I'm in the museum.
Yeah. Well, coming out to the museum, I'd imagine would be next, wouldn't it? Because you went from,
Bang
on the gong, come out of that, miserable, come out of that, bang, in the museum. So you'll have to come out to the museum now, into the street, and then...
The creative writing team.
I didn't want to say anything, but this is my interview, actually. We haven't recorded a single thing here today. This is just my interview trying to get a job for you guys, so...
I think we're missing a massive trick, aren't we? But we don't even know if we can... We don't even know if we can afford to do another one. We're kind of seam of our pants stuff over here just now. That's where we're at. I mean, we're like, although we've been going for years and in some people's eyes, it's this big successful thing. The reality is we're like a kind of mid-level football team in the Premiership. We're not going to make top six. We're not going to Europe type of thing. Nobody's going to Europe now anyway. Fuck me.
Definitely not. Yeah. Champions League is off.
We're like, we're like a working, everything we do is to like keep us ticking over. So like, if we get to make it, it will definitely tie in. I'll give you credit for it.
Oh no, sorry. Just a big banner at the end. Idea by Sean Smith, and that's it. That's all we need, actually. That'd be fantastic. Just touch one last thing on Transparency, the record. Yeah, for the lyrical content on there, how does this differ from the last one?
Well, I think because I was at home. Basically, I've been at home for the longest I've ever been in my adult life this period. Because, like I was saying, started touring when I was like 18. I'm 33 now. So basically, my whole of my 20s into my early 30s, I just was on the road or thinking of the next step, right? Where am I going? Where am I going? Taking on new cultures. And like, I don't think my lyrics were properly like a snapshot of me. They were more a snapshot of me trying to be somebody else or trying to escape here or... hiding everything behind metaphors because I was too, not embarrassed to like, I don't think I had enough life experience to say, even like a love song, the songs on this record that are maybe more about that sort of content, they're about like the shit side of love, but how that's when you know it's like real, true love. Whereas I didn't have context when I was like 21 to figure that out and write about it maybe in a concise way that wasn't like all dreamy and like, love's amazing, I can't wait to be in love. Whereas now it's like, love's fucking tough, man. You work at it and it's like a difficult thing, but that's what makes it worthwhile. That it's kind of more, it's just like a lot more black and white, this record, less kind of room for interpretation, I would say.
Okay.
Plenty of transparency
there.
Just figured out why it's called that. Yeah,
finally, yes. Obvious.
I've absolutely loved this conversation, man. Thank you so much for taking the time. It's lovely to find you, have you on. And fingers crossed we can do something again soon.
It's only like my third ever podcast, and I did one this morning. So got in early. It took me so long to... I didn't know you wanted me.
Yeah, we've been trying a while. We've literally been going 3 years, yeah, and I reckon we've tried since the beginning.
Yeah, we have. Literally, you're on our list of one of the first kind of guests we've had, and this just never happened.
It's mental. I've done it. Well, I've done it. We just did it.
Right, so that was the tester. Let's all press record now, and then we'll go for a real one, right?
Right.
No. Ready. What's happening? thank you, Sam. Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Sam and Podcast!
Yes!
I was really racist then. I was going to go, oh, hi! But I didn't. But then I did this bit explaining that I nearly did it, which literally means I kind of did it. And so, Scotland, hey, Scotch people.
Oh, no.
Scotch people, I'm so sorry for doing that then. I'm only joking. I'm fucking winding you up, man. Hey, I get it all the time being Welsh, don't I? People give me shit for... They try and do the Welsh accent and sound Indian to me all the time, so...
Yeah, we're Celtic nations. We're Celtic nations.
We are. We're fucking brethren. We're brethren. sistren and non-binary. But non-binary is... Anyway, thank you very much, Sam McTusty of the mighty Twin Atlantic. I am fucking super excited for what comes next for them. I can't wait. They're going to be fucking... doing massive arenas in no time, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And I can't fucking wait. I hope we get invited because I'd like to go along.
Well, these new tracks are sounding absolutely huge. You know, bang on the gong, one man party. I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes next.
The videos are fucking awesome. He's dancing. He's like a Scottish Christopher Walken. He is about the place. I love it.
Yeah. And of course, I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing what comes next with the new record, Transparency, dropping on January the 7th. You can pre-order copies on CD, vinyl, and all that right now if you head over to their website and probably go into your favorite record stores. I'm sure they can sort that out for you. But whatever, but make sure you get a copy because it's going to be a really, really good album. And they'll be touring across the UK in May of 2022, performing their phenomenal record, Free, in full. Back to front. I'm so ecstatic for that. And they're going to be playing everywhere from Dublin, Belfast, London, Newcastle, Inverness, Glasgow, Leeds, Manchester, Bristol, and Birmingham. So get your tickets now while there's still any left.
I can't believe that you've memorized the dates because you're going.
What That's it is.
Are you going to all of those dates?
I've got a tattooed on my wrist here. Just twirl that into
it. I was like, that's a funny shame notepad he's reading it off. And I realized it was your forearm. That's mad. I can't believe that all those Twin Atlantic dates tattooed on your forearm. But yeah, go and see them. They're fucking mighty. The sing-alongs are fucking beautiful. Sam is a beautiful fella to look at and to listen to. I fucking love them. I've always loved them. Even secretly in the background. Ooh. Like a good luck pervert. I've been watching from the background going, go on to an Atlantic. Go on. You're free, are you? Anyway, thanks to Sam good for coming
luck.
On.
Good luck pervert, mind.
I don't know. Shut up, it's here now. I said people, it now. We're not fucking...
That's your new... Nah, because people are going to call you
no,
that.
No, it's not my new nickname. No, it's not. Reel it in, good luck pervert.
We're not going to bring out a shirt that just says good luck pervert on it.
That's worse. I'm the GLP, I'm the GLP.
GLP.
Don't call me the GLP.
No.
Leave it, man. Anyway, thanks again, Sam. Thanks to Twin Atlantic for the music, the good times over the years. And I cannot wait for this fucking new record and the tour. So, yes, thank you very much, Sam. And all of Scotland. Thanks to all of Scotland. apart from the Scottish Conservatives. Fuck off.
But no, I'm really honoured that he shared the story of Crashland to us as well, because that's literally one of my favourite tracks that they've ever done, and possibly ever in general. It's a beautiful, beautiful track, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it live again in May. But we've got a lot of things coming up. We just celebrated 150 episodes in a row. Obviously, this is 151. Our third year anniversary is coming in just a few weeks, so you gotta get ready to celebrate with us. And we're going to be doing a lot of things, both on the podcast and with our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. So if you want to head over there, subscribe to any of the tiers, it gets you not only a lot of bonus content, but into our wonderful community. So for people all across the world, we're planning to do a huge Zoom party day where we're all going to interact and talk and play games and all that. But we're also looking at doing some celebration-y party meetups in person for both the anniversary.
IRL.
LOL. LMFAO.
For TRL. Yeah, for TRL.
BRB.
The old MTV show. What? Yes, we're going to do... we say meetups makes it sound like some sort of cult. Not anyway. Yeah. It's less meetups and more nights and parties together. So yeah, we're hopefully going to host a third year birthday party, and then maybe a Christmas party. Some of them might be involving DJ nights, some of them might be involving bands, some of them might be involving, well, that's it really. But
but if you want to know what happens, sign up to patreon.com/sapnin, because we're working on it. And if you're already in there, you would have seen some dates that we're trying to hold for you wonderful people to come and celebrate. But yeah, we'd love you to join it. It helps us keep this podcast alive each and every week. And we've got a lot of things, as I said, in the bag. So it would be a shame if we didn't get to put those to fruition. So patreon.com/sapnin, give us a follow and a tweet or Instagram, like wherever, at sapninpod on social media. But while we're speaking of these wonderful Patreon people, if you head to the description in this episode, there's loads of names there that we would like to thank. But Sean, as always, is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon podcast community. Those are the top tiers, and they're wonderful.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
They are bloody wonderful. Thank you so, so much. We say it every week, and it's probably boring as fuck, but thank you very much to everybody who's ever been involved with our Patreon. It literally fucking makes this podcast possible. So, and these people especially, thank you very much, and we love you to all of these guys. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Orangutan Claws, Liwa Wei, she hasn't changed her name from last week. Thank you very much, Janelle Caston, Amandine, thank you so much, Shona Morgan, for everything, Urbano, you don't have to thank us, thank you. Thank you very much, Mitch Perry, Dilly, I thought this was OnlyFans Grimwood, but that's okay, because I've DM'd Dilly now, those nudes I've got of you, Morg.
Thank you very much, Kelly Ewan, Kelly Young, Liam Connolly, Natasha Morris, Scooby Drew Styles, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Paul Hirschfield, Sammy G, Tony Michael, Kat Besant, Captain Hannibal, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Johnny Phillips, Amy Campion, Vinny McMahon, Book Me and Sean versus Real Big Fish in a Steel Cage Tag Match, SummerSlam 2022. I'm up for that. Thank you very much, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns. That's not his real name. Thank you very much, Caroline Robinson, Chris Howard, Craig Gervin, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Kevin Clark, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, Lydia Henderson, James McNaught, Craig Harris, Jenny Munster, Lucy Deeds, Emily Perry, John and Emma, Jason Oredia, Becky Handy, Stuart McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Sharif Awadali, Ollie Amesbury, Adam, King of the Goths Parcel, who we saw last week supporting Salem and James and the Cold Gun, because Adam's part of a fantastic band called The Nightmares that you should check out. Thank you very much. Josh, what did the fisherman say to the magician? Pick a cod, any cod crisp. Josh, that is the worst one so far, right? That's so bad. I don't even think it counts as a joke.
Do you think he was...
You've got to mispronounce a word. It's terrible.
Do you think he was fishing for that reaction?
Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Kieran Allen, Rhys Bowring, Ben Evans, Amy Chilvers, Kate Stevenson, Connor Lewins, Livy Cropper, and Danielle Llanfael, Pultgwyn, Gael Cogerich, Wyndrop, Llantasilio, Gogogoch, Stevenson. He's written that in thinking I wouldn't be able to say that, but I fucking did. So there you go. In your face, Daniel Stevenson. Thank you very much to all those people. As you can tell, I'm now in a mood because he stopped to do that fucking pun and it wasn't worth stopping me. So thank you very much to all of those people. Thank you very much, Sam McTrusty. Thank you very much, Twin Atlantic. Thank you to all of the Scottish people. I've been Sean Smith. That's it.
I'm Richard.
Sabnin! He's not. And he... unluckily for me, he does have the power to edit this, but I'm hoping he won't. So fuck you, Morgan. Sapnin.
Oh, Sapnin.
Just say Sapnin so we can get on with
Sapnin.
This.
Sapnin.
Fucking puns.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.